Welcome to the Tales of Longbox podcast. This is episode 328, Spotlight on DC Comics, JLA, year one, number one, circa 1997. This is just Chris at the moment. I had to redo the intro. It got garbled. So kind of give a little heads up. We had talked about the Justice League, and it's kind of good because we got a little spoilery, and we'd recorded this the day after the movie come out. So that part was good. So I basically explained what Justice JLA Year One was. And looking at Wikipedia, it's talking about various origins of the Justice League. Secret Origins Volume 2, Number 32, which came out around November-ish, 1988. Updated to Justice League of America, Number 9's origin for post-crisis continuity. Differences included the inclusion of Silver Age Black Canary as a founding member, and the absence of Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman. The JLA Year One Limited Series by Mark Waid, Brian Augustus, and Barry Kitson further explained the Secret Origins depiction. And let's see what else I got. There was another one I found. Yeah. It was a 12-issue maxi series that reimagined the origins, rebooted post-crisis environment, and structured continuity. Wonder Woman was no longer a founding member. And, being replaced by Black Canary. Infinite Crisis retcons this aspect of JLA history later, reinserting Wonder Woman into the team's history as per Justice League of America Volume 2, Number 0. Also, the roles of Batman and Superman are marginalized in the series, casting them as part of the team's support group without making them official members. So, there's your, in a nutshell, Caleb and I were the only ones around for that particular podcast, and we really liked it. Go see it. That's pretty much it for the intro, and now we'll get into the actual episode.
And we start off a husky guy with a beard walking into a room. It's very similar to the start of Justice League when Max Lord came in and was looking at the camera, looking at the screens, and at least in this one panel, he's got a very feminine hand. Because it's a woman, Caleb, you idiot. So big hefty guy sits down. He clicks on the TV and there's voiceovers. Sighted the Flash, Aquaman spotted, Green Lantern, Manhunter from Mars seen, reported Black Canary in. And then it's more like monitor. So we switch next page. We have Green Lantern's fighting the big yellow bird character from help me out here. Where were those aliens from?
The Apalax or something like that?
Apalax. The Apalaxians.
Yes, that's who they fight in this one.
And there's a woman we see from behind, a blonde woman has the remote control, and then it switches over and there's a man with a remote control, and we have Black Canary is fighting the glass Appalachian, and the guy is noting down that Black Canary's in Star City and Green Lantern's, and the woman's not noting that Green Lantern's from Coast City. I'm jumping around the page, but it's just, It's beautiful Kitson art. Let me just say that
I'm a big fan of his art.
Yeah, Barry Kitson's always been great. I know that you liked his when Waid and Kitson did Empire together. So.
Yes. They continued that online for a while, but on his Thrillbent site, and it was pretty good. It was just hard to follow because it was very sporadic when they put it out.
So, you know, we show then next page we have Aquaman going after the it says footage of the seafaring explorer. The newspapers have dubbed Aquaman as he yesterday vanquished a mercurial creature, origin unknown, apparently bent on making over all sea creatures. Oh man, that's a little rough writing there.
Yeah, it is.
So Aquaman takes on the mercury-based Appalachian, and then the Flash, the Scarlet Speedster, who calls himself the Flash, uses his lightning velocity to extinguish the flaming beast, suspected to be somehow connected to similar glass and mercury beings. So we see another two other people here taking notes on, Flash is tied to Keystone City now, as opposed to, where is he usually at nowadays?
Central
City. So yeah, they're showing Keystone, which is a throwback to the original Flash, who was in Keystone City.
They made Keystone and Central City sister cities, like Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Right. They had that bridge, the Iron Heights Bridge. Anyhow, so NORAD is finally putting two and two together and noticing that the four aliens that the Justice League, individual Justice League members defeated, maybe tied together. And then we have the Martian Manhunter taking on, what is this? Rumors for years of a Manhunter from Mars in Middleton, Colorado. But these rumors are now fact. Yesterday morning, the strange alien defeated the citizens of Middleton, or defended, excuse me, the citizens of Middleton from an even greater threat as a stone behemoth began transforming ordinary citizens into a granite armada under his rule. Wow, these news people. Mm-hmm. This is, anyhow. And then we switch to the Florida Everglades, where the five of them are teaming up together to take on the wood critter, the wood creature. Lethal Invader, a wood creature. And again, there's just a lot of background noise going on, mentioning the five of them.
Yeah, you look at the panels, it's like there's a bunch of people in different little rooms, and they've got like a whole multitude of TVs running different channels at the same time, and they're taking notes on all this stuff. That's what you're kind of seeing. So you got little speech balloons, electronic speech balloons of different colors all over the place. It's a interesting set of panels.
Yeah, a picture like that in Watchmen when Ozymandias is watching all those TVs and they're trying to, and there's these two people watching these, or a bunch of people potentially watching all these, this footage of the heroes. And finally someone hits the mute button. Doop. And we get a cool one panel of the five heroes running at us, which has been aped many a time since. And one of the shadowy figures says, well, time to get this investigation underway. And the Emerald Gladiator, the King of the Seven Seas, the Blonde Bombshell, the Manhunter from Mars, and the Fastest Man Alive. They were young, they were new, and still they forever set the standard for all who would follow. 10 years ago, five powerful heroes came together for a world that needed one unbeatable team. Just imagine, Justice League of America, year one. Mark Waid, Brian Augustine, Barry Kitson, with Ken Lopez, Pat Garry did the colors, Heroic Age did the separations, and Peter Tomasi was the editor. No kidding.
He was an editor first.
Yeah, no, I knew, but that, I just didn't realize he...
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, cool.
Yep, that is a great piece of art right there.
It is. That's a good poster. And
I can take over now.
I'd buy that for a dollar. Go for it.
All right. We are off to Central City Police Headquarters, and you see Barry's walking in with his trench coat and into the lab, and you know, one of the guys is there already. He's in a lab coat, and he's like, hey, did you hear about those good guys putting down an alien tree? And what do you think they'll do next? And it's like, I have no idea. And the guy tells him, you're late. Something missing there. You see that? He says, you're late. And then, since when something was said there that I don't have in my panel? It's like Barry...
He's just shocked. He's like, you're late. Since when? Mm-hmm. When has Barry Allen ever been late?
On time. Yeah. All right. Right, Iris.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. There's a speech balloon missing or something.
Somewhere.
Yeah. All right.
Right. Iris call? Yes. And she said, you keep her waiting at lunch, and I'd better be prepared to do an autopsy. Says her man's always tardy with a capital I'm getting better about that, Jack. And, you know, that's kind of a thing. He's talking about the, you know, what's happened to him. So, and you see there.
Yes, he's the fastest man alive, but he's always late to everything. Got it. Yes. Joke.
But he's a police scientist, or back then they didn't have CSI yet, or did they? But anyway, he was always a crime scene investigator. Now, they didn't call it that back then, but that was all. They called it a police scientist. These days, they call it crime scene investigator.
It's the It's the Scientific Detection Bureau, according to his name badge.
Yeah. So they're talking back and forth about a case they're working on. They confiscated a .45, and he's, you know, it's like, how electrifying. Okay, anyway. Done this a
he's
million,
bored.
Yeah, done this
he's,
a million
he's
times.
Bored. He's
bored. Yeah, because the Speed Force has changed him. Anyway.
Which, by the way, the Speed Force moments in the Justice League movie.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah, those were good.
Okay.
So the guy's firing. And he's already looked at it. He's looking at it at super speed. And he's already decided, yep, it's a match already. And before the bullet even hits the other side,
that's not how they test bullets. Good God.
Well, it depends on what year you're talking about. So I've seen that sometimes they do it with, they'll do it with water. Shoot it into water
or sand.
Yeah, sand. I think that's better. That would probably mess up the bullet too much. But
well, then the guy I saw in like a CSI, they were like not rubber balls, but it was like a tank of pellets, like pellets.
Yeah, and then they fished it. It seems like every time I watch CSI and they do that, they have a different way of doing it too. I noticed.
Yes, they do.
It's like, wait a minute, that's not what they did last time.
But firing it across the room at a target, that just seems odd.
Yeah, it does seem odd, but it makes the aesthetic of his speed and everything. And Barry's like, yeah.
Because he's looking at the striations on the bullet as it's in flight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's like, that was fast. How hard? You don't mind if I check? He's like, you're right. It's a gift, but. On to the next time. Don't waste any more time. And Barry's just like got his hand, you know, his fist on his face like, I'm bored. What's eating you? We're partners, man. Talk to me. It's nothing, Jack. I have a decision to make. I got together with some people yesterday. We were working on something, and we left it a little unfinished. I'm not sure whether I feel like linking up with them to settle business. I'm not used to being a team player, you know. I do indeed. You are a slave to the lab, which is why I love you, man. Gives me a lot of coffee breaks like now. Do what you like, my friend. Don't overcommit. You're only human, right? So anyway, he's sitting there thinking, maybe that's really what's worrying me. Maybe I'm worried.
And he stuck the post-it note about meeting with Iris on the side of his desk.
Yeah, where you can't see it. And here's some good Speed Force stuff. Goes and says, I'm worried that I'm no longer human after all. And he does a bunch of stuff real fast, sorts some books, and boom, he's done. He's got his office all cleaned up. And I like how, I don't think they do that much anymore, but they do that, him showing him and going fast. It's a little bit out of phase from the rest of the shot, and I always like that. That makes it look more realistic.
Yep.
And he's thinking to himself about his new form. The new speed is a freak accident, and he just got his powers. And the captain comes in. Alan, I see your desk is still clean. Don't we give you enough to do around here? Never mind. I want you to meet a new detective on the force named Paris Jackson. He'll be working with you closely. Pleasure, Mr. Alan. I plan to learn a lot from you. And he looks like, I don't think you find out now, but he's one of those aliens. And anyway,
I'll take this. Take the next. Okay,
that's
so we're
lots of words.
So we have two guys pushing a crate into a flower store, and one of them saying, "So the one in fishnets. You see her? Oh my God, those legs. Hermie, she'd be begging to wrap him around my... Sign here, please, he says to a young woman at a flower store. And she's all, gladly. And my motorcycle, got you got me? Wrap him around my motorcycle. I'm with you, Lou, says the other delivery guy. And we see that they're being delivered. They're delivering to a D. Lance. And for those who know that, that would be Dinah Lance.
Yep.
And the one guy is continuing smarmy. She's a canary, right? Bet I can make her sing. Wait, these go in the back, she yells at them. Man alive, says one of them. I'd do anything for a chicken leather, you know. Anything. And she's yelling at them, hey, a little help here. And that body, don't get me started. And the pigs leave. And another woman walks in and she says, man, some of them are hardly worth the trouble. Tell me about it. So you're going to be hanging out with the Flash and the others? You planning on forming a group? I don't know, Mom. We did well on one case, but that's no guarantee we can be a team. I saw you against that glass thing. But by the way, when I was Black Canary in the Justice Society, and I once fought the Crystal Count. I know. Tell me again. Oh, wouldn't that look nicer here? So basically, she's working with her mom, who was the original Black Canary. She's the new Black Canary. And she quietly reminds Mom that it's her store, not her mom's store. Mm-hmm. And anyhow, mom-daughter, back and forth. And yes. Young Dinah finally says, hey, speaking of JSA, how are Uncle Ted and Uncle Alan? They taught me so much. Happily retired. We don't hear from as much as the others. And don't forget to send Uncle Wesley a birthday card. Shouldn't this be by the window? Whatever, says the young Dinah. So how's business? I'm keeping it just fine. I like encouraging things to grow. It's a little dull and dreary sometimes, but... And a guy busts in, roses! I need roses, and fast! And she says, sure, do you mind telling me what's the rush? Love to. I was standing outside your store, minding my own business, and I suddenly saw the most beautiful woman I've seen in months. Oh, really? The romance of happenstance, he says. Love at first sight. Do you believe in it? I could be convinced. He's good. If you like them, that I do. Here's a signature card. And she turns around to hand him the card along with the flowers, and she thought he was going to give them to her. Mm-hmm. And he runs outside, and he gives them to... some buxom blonde outside there.
Yes.
And Mom says, it's true, blondes really do have more fun. But we know that, don't we? And this is, again, back when she wore a blonde wig when she was Black Canary, and she was actually a brunette, whereas in the current books, it's the other way around.
Yeah, and it's funny, I've got, back when... DC first started doing the action figures, DC Direct. I have the it was a Hard Traveling Heroes set that, well, they came out one at a time, but around the same time, one of Green Arrow, one of Green Lantern, and one of Black Canary. Well, the Black Canary one has a removable head that you can take off the blonde head and put on, which is disturbing. It's disturbing looking in the package, let me tell you, because you see this head in there. It's got the blonde head on normally, and you can take the blonde head off, which I've never opened it, and take the, you know, put the one with the black hair on it, and then put a skirt on it to make it look like the alter ego.
That's hilarity.
Yes.
It's absolute freaking hilarity. I would, I'd almost want to buy it just for that.
Yeah.
Put it up on the wall.
Yeah, I've got it up on the wall, all the three of them together.
So she continues telling her mom, hey, I'm not waiting for a man in my life. And in pops a man.
A man?
Oh, it's a police officer making sure everything's okay because some guy just ran in and ran out suddenly. And mom is being mom with the police officer trying to, basically flirting a bit with the police officer, but reminding, I have a daughter over here. Look at my daughter. Look at her, the one with the tight ass over there.
Yeah,
no, I'm sorry. Yeah, but she doesn't say that.
But he was saying, you know, I'll keep an eye on your little girl. I promise. I'm probably another alien. Anyway.
Yeah, probably. And young Dinah says, "What was that all about? You can't be too careful these days. Times have changed." "So has Black Canary, Mom. I've got sonic powers. You never did. I'm plenty capable on my own. Got it?" In a moment, Mom continues to rearrange the shop. And she's talking to Mom. "Yes, I'm only 19, but I'm perfectly in control of my life. Which I might add is not your life, nor is this your store anymore. So stop moving stuff around." And she says, "Dear, I only meant to help." "I said, put that down." And pot shatter all over the place. And Mom says, stands there for a moment. Dinah is fuming. And Mom says, "I have to clean this up. Where are you going? To be around people who don't make me crazy." So a 19-year-old who owns her own business. Holy shit.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And we are at the docks, and I will leave it to you.
Okay, so we're at the docks, and you see a, I don't know what you call it. Anyway, it's like a plank or somewhere where you would dock your boat. A dock, that's it. That's the word I'm looking for.
A pier, a dock.
A pier, yes. I completely went blank. Words are hard. So you see these wet footprints going into a saloon, and you see some green boots putting his foot up on a stool, water coming off of it, and he's putting some weird-looking coins on there, and the guy goes, "What the?" And this big, huge bartender, "Sorry, tight pants, we don't take doubloons." And he's like, "What? What now?" It says, "You serve fish? We serve anybody, pretty boy. You drinking or yakking? And talk English. Can't hardly make out that weird accent. Where are you from anyways?" See, I like what he did here, where he's talking real quiet. And they talk about it. He mentions it later. He's, you know, Aquaman's talking real quiet, that sound travels better underwater. So you don't have to talk as loud to be understood. But he's talking, you know, real low. So, hey, that's a pretty boy. I saw him on the TV. Name's Aquaman, King of the Seven Seas, I hear. And the old bartender says, "That right? So what you doing here, Aquaman?" And he's like, I don't understand. "How come, freak? Can't hear the man? You got water in your ears, Aquaman?" "Yeah, he's got water in his ears. I'm in. I thought I'd be welcome. I'm just here to meet people, make friends." He's mumbling. What'd he say? "Sorry, sound travels better underwater. I'll speak up." And he's like, you know, "Oh, yeah, do that. Sit down. Let's talk." Okay. And so tell us about life under the sea, Aquaman. You getting any mermaid action down there? And he's like, "Action? Nah, better yet, tell us what you got that pretty shirt, or maybe how long you can hold your breath underwater." And he throws his face into a bucket of water, which is really stupid. "Freak, hey, Collie, fire up the grill. Looks like I caught me a whopper here." And people are laughing. And it's like, of course, I might have to throw him back. And he's, you know, cracks the bar, picks him up. "What problem do you have? Here I was, just trying to fit in for a change among you, you'll excuse the expression, surface dwellers. And all you want to do is remind me why I don't trust the one of you." And then, so that guy said, what did he say? "Don't know, accent, don't matter, you're going to take that." So the guy gives him a bat, and "No way, you want trouble, fish man, you came to the right." And some guy stopped him. Didn't sound to me like you wanted trouble at all, friend. I'm a Coast Guard, loser. What, you're going to arrest me? No, I'm going to ask you to apologize to this man for making fun of him. Bite my now. Ow, ow, okay, geez. I'm sorry, much better. Thanks. Don't mention A, I was just trying to keep Wool Hat here from being pulped, and B, I overheard you and figured on proving that not all humans are to be mistrusted. Buy you a brew? Brew? And he says, "Refreshment. What do you want of me?" "Nada, nothing. Name's Perez. So you have any other land pals?" And they're talking on them, seeing, you know, people on television. I don't know. That's probably another alien. I don't know. Anyway. So now we are at seeing a flaming jet. And
I'll let you take this one. This is your guy.
Yeah. There's a little bit of this. Little bit of racism here, because they used to call him Pie Face. He was a an Alaskan.
And that's yeah. that's
an Eskimo. That's
Hal yeah. Jordan's sidekick. Yeah.
Yes, Eskimo Pie. See, Pie Face. Anyway, Hal, this is Pie. You're in trouble. Abort the mission, and sacrifice the X-90, please. This big rig cost a bone. I'm bringing it back. So the thing's in flames. He's trying to, you know, stop worrying. Just tell him to keep pumping the phone. Let it go, Fearless. Knock off in the hot dogging. Yeah, okay. It looked like an M for a second. And Bill already. I'm not used to these new lenses yet. Anyway, what? And it ain't your money. It's Carol's end. And then he's like, yes. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Don't tell me you're just doing this just to suck up to the boss. No. Okay, maybe. Think I'll get a date out of it? And that's funny because I've read some of the Silver Age, this version of Green Lantern, and that's pretty much all Hal Jordan thinks about is how he can get a date with Carol. Everything else is secondary, so it was pretty bad back then. For saving a $30 million plane, probably, if you live through it, keep foaming the runway, he's coming in. You know, there's flames and stuff, and he brings it to a screeching halt. Does he know there's a fuel truck parked on the runway? Don't encourage him. And he's like, whoosh. And he makes it. By the way, tell him. Says, by the way, tell him we're making him pay for the phone again. Hal, come in, Hal. And he gets out. All right. I'm another year closer to a stroke, but all right. And they're foaming
that's
it
Pie
up.
That's Pie Face talking.
Yeah, it's Pie Face talking. Hello, boys. And hello, Hal. Keep him foaming. Anyway, Pie Face was the only one that knew about his being Green Lantern at the time. Carol found out much later. And when he flew, he'd always give the ring. He'd give the ring to Pie Face, and he's giving it back to him. It's like, you're ridiculous doing that. You should be wearing it while you're flying. He says, no, it automatically protects me from harm. I'll wear it if Green Lantern's fighting, say, the Invisible Destroyer. But on the job, it takes away Hal Jordan's edge. How reliable are the instincts of a test pilot who carries a big green airbag around with him? Fine. Anyway, he's working with him. That's not my pal's Pie. I don't even know it. Oh, can it? Here comes Carol. And Carol's got some blonde with it, her. Probably another alien, anyway. So, when they're talking back and forth, it's like, look at you. What do you want? Dinner left. Let Ferris Aircraft run itself for a night. Play the blonde right and maybe. Done. Who is she? An FAA investigator. She was on a routine visit, but now she wants to know what went wrong with the X-90. Easy. We set it up too soon. Your opinion. My honest opinion. So anyway, a lot of back and forth there. Fudge it. No one's asking you to lie, but if you really want dinner, you might want to do a little soft selling if you catch my drift. And he's like, So he's introducing himself. Laura Denton, please. So could it fill government in on what happened? Wayne Tech parts problem. LexCorp wiring faulty. We were a little premature with our test flight, plain and simple. The buck stops here, Laura. And Carol's like, truthful, I like that in a man. Thank you, Mr. Jordan. Good day. Anyway, you and me at the Rib Shack then? Oh, yeah, Carol's going to need a little time to get to let this one go. Maybe I ought to be shopping around a little in the meantime. I do so like blondes. Yeah, he's a horn dog, big time.
And we are in rainy somewhere now. By the way, liked that. Thank you. Thank you for letting me know that in the old stories that Hal Jordan basically his number two goal in life was to bed Carol.
Yeah, so. I mean, the perfect example is a story I read where he got knocked out. Carol was trying to ask Green Lantern out, but he wants her to like Hal, and he somehow Green Lantern knocks himself out, and his ring subconsciously makes this big creature or something for Green Lantern to fight, and it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. He's using it to get out of being alone with Carol long enough for Carol to ask Green Lantern out.
Oy.
Yeah, it was it's horrible.
The Silver Age.
Yes.
Anyhow, so we are in a rainy, noir-soaked police setting, and we see
that's not who I thought
two cops and a stake.
I thought that was Barry, but it's not.
It's not. We'll get to it. So the cops are standing there. The male cop and a female cop. And the male cop says, Diane, do you think of me as a team player? She said, God, John, warn me when you're going to speak. I'll alert the media. At least clear your throat or something. What was the question? He says, do you trust me? You don't really know much about my origins, where I come from, but I do what I do in my spare time. She says, you're the most curious detective on the Middleton force. So we're back in Middleton. So we know that this has something to do with Martian Manhunter. And she says, you're the most curious detective on the Middleton force, Jones. You have a spotless record. You always get your man. And no other investigator has yet to find your sense of humor. What more do I need to know about right now? He says, never mind. Looks as if Twitch was good on his tip. There are drugs being manufactured in the back of Angelo's restaurant. And Benetti's boys look very tired of Angelo skimming off the top. Let's get in there before there's trouble. And there's a bunch of soprano-looking guys pulling out guns, walking into the restaurant that the two cops were sitting in front of. And they jump out of their car towards Angelo's. And he says, how can men do this to one another? Exploit addictions, exchange fire. And she says, what planet are you from, Jones? Only thing that separates us from the animals is I'm with stupid t-shirts. You've got to show these creeps some muscle and all of a sudden they're caught in the crossfire. She hides behind the car. And she's like, John, and he's gone invisible. And you can see him being invisible because, well, it's comic books.
Yes.
And when someone is invisible in comic books, they are glassy. But, and the guys are shooting at each other from the bar and from behind columns. And he's going in there all invisible-like. And then he uses his Martian vision and heats up the guns. And this is, by the way, of the it's a nice touch. And all of these little vignettes, they all have just a little bit of use of their powers. You get a hint of who they are. But they're all in their civilian garb, all five of them. And he takes out the bad guys by using his Martian vision and his telekinesis. And then he turns visible and he says, police, you're under arrest. And his partner's outside still hiding behind. He says, you heard me, officers Meade and Jones requesting immediate backup on the corner of, and she's like, never mind, disregard alert. How'd you do that? She says, I showed them some muscle. Cal Redmond, Channel 12 News. Forget the bus. Looks like your partner's a story in himself. And we all want anyhow. So the news is trying to get some background out on him. And he decides to take off. Pulls up his collar, very Casablanca style, and walks up into the rain. He says, perhaps I'm meeting with friends. That, frankly, is what I'm curious to discover. And we are now on a beach, a couple of huge helicarriers outside a cave. And I'll do this page, and then I'll leave it the rest to you.
Okay.
And Green Lantern said, thank you for coming, General Eileen, which is a standard general throughout the comic book history of DC, who's
yes.
gone from being – he eventually becomes the – the general, a bad guy.
The Shaggy Man, too.
Yeah, empowered by the Shaggy Man powers.
Mm-hmm. He was. And they even had him in Arrow, too.
Did they?
Yeah. Cool.
So whenever they're looking for basically a douchebag military high-ranking guy, they pull out General Eiling. And Green Lantern's thanking. He says, thank you for coming, General Eiling. As you were briefed, several alien creatures we fought yesterday were destroyed. So all all of that happened just yesterday. And apparently Superman took on a seventh, but that's unconfirmed. But two remain intact, if inert, at the request of the Air Force. We're surrendering them for further study. And they're inside this cavern Aquaman found for us. Let's go. And all the army guys are fawning over Black Canary. I mean, I'm no Wildcat or Spectre, but I've learned a few tricks. Blonde, leather, heart. And Flash is kidding around with Aquaman. He says, I thought you were Aquaman, not Caveman. Oh, there's an inlet. You're mumbling again. Speak up. There's an inlet underground from the bay. I'm pretty familiar with coastal grottos. And one of the army guys is getting a little disturbed by Martian Manhunter. And he says, that's really what you look like? And he says, sometimes. And they walk in the cave. They've all got this surprise expression on their face. And Green Lantern says, here you go. I put the beast under protective dome. And hey! You're up.
So we appear, Martian Manhunter says, we appear to have intruders. And Hal says, they're teleporting in. And Flash finishes the sentence. And teleporting out with the aliens. And you see this big, huge one-page... one huge panel here. And you see a portal coming in. Like a doorway, kind of like Stargate, if you've ever watched that show. And these guys with these... look like they have faceless masks that are black with black. You got kind of like a trench coat, kind of half trench coat things going on. But they got a bunch of clamps and stuff, and they're trying to get the bad guys out. What? What?
What? Oh, what?
Sounds like you cut out on me. Anyway.
No, I'm here.
And they're behind it, under the dome that they made, that Hal made, I believe. I think it's Hal. I don't know. Anyway, they're trying to get those aliens back. And... Hal says, not if I, and then Black Canary corrects him, we can help it. I've dropped the dome. Let's drop them. And then you see some fisticuffs. Yeah, Flash finishes the sentence. And there's a butt kicking. Butt kicking galore. They kind of look like Dark Circle, if you've ever read Legion. But anyway.
Yeah.
Kind of a cool looking mask. It's just black with eyes, that's all. And he says, no, this is not supposed to happen. Get this one to base now. Now before it's... And he wakes up. Ah! Two ladies combusting! Flash, stay back, people. If the fire giant goes up again, we're in trouble. And Manhunter's like, ah! Manhunter.
Because he's allergic to fire.
Yes. Aquaman, did you say there was an inlet? Already on it. You want to fight? Follow me. And he lures the fire thing away, and it's chasing him. Manhunter, are you all right? Was it the fire? Yes. Flame weakens me. Huh? A strong bug like you can't handle? I mean, so noted. Yeah, Hal's kind of an ass. I'm sorry, but he is.
Yeah, plus at that time, his weakness was yellow.
Yeah, that's true. Sir,
so making fun of some guy because he can't take fire when your weakness is yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of shut up.
Yeah. Sir, request permission to don't move, soldier. The dance floor is crowded enough. Move an inch and we'll be cut down like so much wheat. Like it or not, our lives are now in the hands of five costumed grandstanders. Flash is like, I'll protect you, Canary. Any thoughts? One, that I can handle myself. And two, that the JSA would be done with these losers by now. On their first day. So anyway, one of the bad guys, leader to Locust home base. Have encountered unexpected resistance. Preparing to initiate extreme measures.
Yeah, so as much as she bagged on her mom for telling those stories, she idolizes the hell out of the JSA.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you go, now, oh, hell, they let loose the bird, too? Just what we need, more aliens running. I mean, you mean no insult. Go, I will shield the others. Uh-oh. You want a suggestion? Try a Starman trick. He would have done better than me. I can't take the bird out. The ring kind of has a problem with yellow things. I'll find Fire Giant. Flash, can you handle this? And she's like, mind if I help? So anyway, the Martian is weak. Quickly, before the others come to his rescue, we'll reduce him to Martian ash. And he's like, disappears. Where'd he go? Not far. And he like phased into the ground. And he comes back up behind him, which is a really good, wonderful panel right there. And he takes
the he didn't do the thing where he sometimes do where he phases through things. He actually looks like he melted into the ground and then came up behind him.
He turned into like almost liquid. Yep, you're right.
Yeah, like liquid, exactly, like one of the metal men or something.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And he says, I rarely require rescuing. And Hal kind of contradicts that. You can go immaterial too.
Yeah. It looked like he. It was just the art. It didn't look like he went immaterial. No, it looked like he.
because you can kind of see the splashy stuff under the bad guy's feet in that second panel.
Yeah, I think Barry Kitson misunderstood how his powers worked. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Shockingly.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Well, you know, there's a lot of stuff. And they were in the middle of trying to redefine some of this anyway, so you never know. That might have been a plant part of it, and then they changed their mind. It is a gift of willpower. How it says, so are things I can do with the ring. Wow, I can't do that, I don't think. Hey, anybody seen Aquaman? Anyway, Manhunter's kicking crap out of people. Leader to Hocus Lone Base, do you read me? For God's sake, do you read me? And she's like, and that's how the old Flash used to handle things that flew. A vortex, huh? Nice. I haven't tried it myself, but I'm willing to give it a whirl. So he starts zipping around in a circle right below the big birdie. And the fire giant's raging in an alien language. Tries to hit Aquaman. He jumps in the water and, you know, it unburns his hand because he was already burning. And, you know, if you get, he puts it in the water.
Let me back. Yeah, I'm going to back up real quick. Sure. I like that Canary is giving the Flash some advice on how to use his powers. And it places them also, not that they were new, not necessarily just new as a team, but they were also new at being with their powers.
Yes.
So it's pointing out that Flash still doesn't, you know, we think it's commonplace as comic book readers that the Flash would use the vortex thing on things in the sky, but it's like, oh.
Well, one thing has changed is, in the Silver Age Flash, the Golden Age Flash was a comic book that he read.
Yeah.
So he might have known that already originally. But anyway, that's where that Tale of Two Flashes starts, is he's like reading a Flash comic book and it's the Golden Age Flash.
Right.
Anyway, we're back in the fire giant trying to hit Aquaman, misses. That's it. Stay mad and come after me. And he's trying to grab a big old rock and splash it so it puts him out. And he's having a little trouble getting the rock loose, and Lantern shows up with a big pick. He says, good plan. Can I help? Please. And they pull the rock and it opens up it was keeping the water out. That's what it was. Isn't that heavy? He says. And he goes, I have it. That's how. He's always trying to do it all by himself. This isn't working. I can pin it, but I can't knock it out. Pardon my echo. Pardon it. Let's use it. Can the bat bird sing? Doesn't seem to. Well, I can. And she knocks it, the crap out of it with, you know.
Her canary cry.
Yeah, sorry.
I'll finish this up. So, Black Canary and Flash give each other high fives over having teamed up to take out the giant yellow bird. And one of the Locust guys says, sir, we've lost the aviary. Unacceptable. I've received new orders. If we can't have the aliens, they can't either. And they use their ray guns and start to blast at the two Appalachians. And in runs the Flash and strips them of all their guns. And we lose a panel of dialogue there as well, it looks like. And then the bad guys, the Locusts, LOCUS, by the way, for those who don't understand, radio home base is leader to home base, initiating failsafe maneuver, triangulate and proximitrix immediately, and he jumps on top of the big yellow bird, and he and the yellow bird are teleported, and Flash says, damn it, while my back was turned, he ported away with the bird, and we missed him. And Clary says, don't feel bad. Even Dr. Fate would have had a tough time blocking that. Where's the fire giant? And Green Lantern and Aquaman come in. Green Lantern says, right here. We can move him into Eileen's transport if the soldiers will herd the prisoners. And one of the soldiers says, why aren't we taking orders from them? Those five put their lives on the line for us. Show them the respect, proper respect, Sergeant. I'm a lieutenant, sir. You were. Now move them out. And they load the big giant onto one of the transport helicopters. And Dinah says, so, anyone know what's going on in there? Those guys, I heard them call themselves Locusts. How'd they know about the aliens or where we hid them? Did anyone say anything to anyone? Not I. Nor I, says Aquaman. Perhaps they followed us. Perhaps we should better. What's the explanation? Watch our backs. or watch one another's back, says Canary. We have to admit, you have to admit we did make a pretty decent team in there. Maybe at least until we settle the mystery of what just happened. Maybe we should stick together. And they stand in a circle looking at each other and flashes. Yeah, I think so. I think we can learn a lot from each other. Canary says, well, I'm in. And she says, if she thinks it's a good idea, that's it. That is, what are you about, Smiley? And Aquaman says, I have my concerns. I don't really think of myself as superpowered. The things I can do don't seem very unusual to me. Still, you're the best people I've met. And if you'll have me around, I'll stay around for a while. Manhunter, you each of you have treated me as you would one of your own race, and you've included me where others might turn away. I am grateful. I would be honored to join you. And they are being watched by a group of people in Locust uniforms. And it says, then tell me about this yellow thing, she says to Canary, saying to Green Lantern. Wait, you really knew the Justice Society, says the Flash? You're not that old. Your strength is surprising. I assume your muscles have been toughened by undersea pressure. Manhunter's talking. They're chitty-chatty now. They're getting to know each other. And she's saying, my mom was in the JSA. And Flash is saying it's an aura, blah, 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 blah. They're yamma, yamma. And then we pull back, and a group of people who are watching the TVs at the beginning, we now see who they are. They're people. And the blonde woman says, I repeat, new heroes were not factored into the Locust agenda. Another guy says, then we refactor in. I refuse to allow 10 years of genetic planning to be destroyed by 1 minute of interference. Another guy says, besides, we have an advantage. They don't know us, but we know that. But now that we have put our field agents into play, we are about to know them intimately. And it turns out that all the people that they met during the story are these people sitting around the table.
Yep. So question. Have you ever read another one of their collaborations, the Flash and Green Lantern, Brave and the Bold? It's basically
I probably did.
It's talking about Hal and Barry. It was written during a time when they were both dead. Hal and Barry were both dead, but it talks about their friendship and how they got to be friends. And then there was even a deal where Alan Scott and Jay Garrick and the other two of them, they all go out on a fishing trip together. And it's a great, great limited series. I think it was like 4 issues, but it's been traded for a while.
Was that when Kyle and Wally and Alan Scott
it was Barry and Hal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, those it's in their timeline before the sidekicks or Kyle had come up or and all that. But I mean, it came out when those characters were dead, but it was from like filling in things that happened in the past. It was kind of like
Year one story.
Yeah, exactly. They did it after
times
this.
Times passed.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great one.
I'm sure I did. There was a period where there was nothing I missed.
So. Yes, you and me both, man. You and me both.
Well, that was good. It was. I had forgotten how much I enjoyed this one.
I must have read that. I read that whole series maybe 5 or 6 times.
God, I haven't read it in a decade at least.
Yeah, it's been a while since I read it.
I don't have time to read it.
Yeah, I know.
Right now.
I don't either.
I can't squeeze in a 12-issue miniseries. So,
yeah, well, I got a bunch of other stuff I haven't read that I need to read. So.
New stuff. There's lots of good new stuff out there right now, too.
I admit. I'm loving the X-Men stuff. I'm really only reading X-Men Blue and Gold, but did you hear about the Red Team?
I read something briefly about it, so more to come.
Yes.
Even more colors.
The original Jean Grey will have her own team, and Namor will be on it. I forget who the other one is. They've announced 2 of them. But Namor was one, which I thought was interesting. I thought he was dead. But then, so was she, so I guess it doesn't really matter, right?
Maybe it's a bunch of dead characters.
Yeah, that might be it. All right, well, I think that was a good one. Let's wrap it up. And you got anything else? I'm kind of spent myself.
Nope, but I just to real quick, go mm-hmm. see Justice League if you haven't.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Ignore the critics. The critics are right on some stuff, but their general consensus of the movie blows is wrong.
Yeah, it's not true.
And I'm not just being geek boy going, oh, I have to like it, because there have been plenty of times when I've seen superhero movies where I've thought, oh my god, what a waste of my 2 hours.
Oh, absolutely. I agree totally. Well, I'm done. All right. Soapbox. Let's see. As always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com. Let us know what you think there. Or you can join us on the Facebook page and see what's going on there. Or you can comment on the actual episodes and as well give us your thoughts and what you think there as well. And that is it
for stuff.
That is it for this week.
Right.
We are
Chris,
out.
Chris, enjoy your week.
All right, you too, man.
I plan on it. We'll talk next week.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. Thanksgiving. Yeah, let's figure that out. Okay, we'll talk later, though.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye.